dedicated to the topic in America.
Alrighty, ladies and gents, I am back. Yes, I'm super excited to bring you new content for the month of March. First off, I want to say thank you to everybody. I didn't produce a single episode. The last episode we published, I think, was in late February, but I saw the numbers keep coming in. You guys continue to stream throughout the month of March, even though I haven't produced anything new. So I'm super grateful. For those of you who continue to come back, welcome back. And for those of you who just discovered the show, welcome. I am Bruno, everybody's favorite friendly neighborhood podcaster, streaming straight out of New York City in the co-pilot seat. Someone you guys haven't heard from in a very long time. I think he hasn't been on since like our season one. So everybody, please welcome Bracero. Dylan, say hi to everybody.
Hey everyone, my name is Dylan Bracero. I'm glad to be here yet again.
I know, when was the last episode you filmed? Recorded?
I think the last episode re-recorded that it was talking about different stories about different relationships.
That's right, that was the Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Our Valentine's Day episode where I think we were I think it's called One Night Only, and we were talking about wild one night stand stories,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think my favorite part about the story about a guy with a butcher knife.
Yeah, I remember. I vaguely remember. Was it the one that had to climb up a hill or something?
Yeah.
I remember. So I feel like you're the best person to sail this ship with me. I have another wild story for you.
Oh boy, let's hear it.
How would you feel if you found out that you've been dating your brother or sister throughout high school?
I'd rather hang myself.
Jesus, Dylan, hang yourself.
I'll be crucified.
Oh, great. He's going to hang himself and then he's going to crucify himself. Well, back in February, CNN reported that a Connecticut woman's life was turned upside down after reading the results of her DNA test. She discovered she was likely a product of fertility fraud and that she had at least 22 half-siblings, one of whom was her high school boyfriend. Alrighty guys, so I'm gonna read the article, but I'm gonna be honest, I did not read it before, so we're gonna be reacting to it together for the first time. This is again an article for published on CNN. CNN is reporting that a Connecticut woman is speaking out after learning she unknowingly dated her half-brother in high school. After years of being left in the dark regarding the true identity of her biological father, Victoria Hill, who is 39 years old, recently made the gut-wrenching discovery after it was revealed that her mother was wrongfully artificially inseminated by fertility doctor Burton Caldwell, allegedly without consent, CNN reported. That's fucked up. That's like some weird all my children plotline storyline. After Hill mustered up the courage to tell close friends, including her former partner in unwitting incest, the whole sordid story, the unnamed man whose own mother had been allegedly treated by Caldwell took a DNA test. "You are my sister," he wrote to Hill. Caldwell is now said to be responsible for at least 22 children who, like Hill, had no idea of their true heritage, according to the network. "I was traumatized by this," Hill told CNN. "Now I'm looking at pictures of people thinking, well, he could be my sibling. Anybody could be my sibling." This was the first time where we had a confirmed case of someone actually dating someone being intimate with someone who was their half-sibling. Indiana University law professor and fertility fraud expert Jody Madeira told CNN. "Laws against fertility fraud are few and far between within the U.S. The lack of legal groundwork has been an obstacle for Janine Pearson, another Caldwell's biological children, who is currently trying to take him to court, according to CNN. This is like so like fucked up. It shouldn't just be, you know, the Wild West where these doctors can just do whatever it is that they want, she said. Pearson, who was floored to learn in 2022 that she had so many siblings from Caldwell, also described allegedly sick behavior from her biological father. Wait a minute. Are they telling us the doctor is the father of all these kids?
I thought it was the brother.
No. So this woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
She took a DNA test. She found out she was part of this insemination fraud.
Uh-huh.
Finds out that her boyfriend is really her brother.
Okay.
And she says Pearson was floored to learn in 2022 that she had so many siblings from Cardwell. Also described allegedly sick behavior from her biological father. I'm not sure what's... He was not in any way apologetic, she said. Adding, Caldwell admitted he never gave it the thought that he should have. That there will be so many children and that it would have any kind of impact on us. Wow. Pearson remembers the doctor being exceptionally curious about her lineage and intellect. One thing that really has always bothered me is that he asked me how many grandchildren he had, she said. And he was very curious about scholastic achievements and what I made of myself. Like how intelligent I was, basically. Fortunately for victims, modern DNA testing sites such as 23andMe are putting an end to fertility fraud, said Julia T. Woodward, a clinical psychologist and an OBGYN professor at the Duke University Health System. To my knowledge, the majority of fertility fraud cases took place before 2000, Woodward said. I think it's highly unlikely any person would engage in such practices today. So this part of the landscape has improved significantly. Dylan, what are your thoughts? Any thoughts at all?
I feel like this doctor is a sick man, because how in the world, like, you can't be coincidence saying like your boyfriend is your brother, right?
Yeah, so she found out her boyfriend was her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds out her boyfriend is her brother, and based on the verbiage that they use in the story, I'm gonna assume that they were intimate
with each other.
Yeah.
So they make love. What are you trying to say?
I'm just assuming,
the way how you said it, it sounded like
it was an ancestral relationship.
Yeah, but they didn't know they were brother and sister.
I wonder. Oh my God, imagine them having kids. Because how many teenagers get pregnant in high school? Imagine.
Some, but not like this story.
It's just so crazy.
Imagine.
My deepest sympathies go out to...
the girl?
To Hill, Victoria mm-hmm. Hill. The boyfriend remains, or her brother remains nameless.
Yeah.
So I wonder if after the fact that they found out that they were siblings, if one of my questions, if I was able to interview her, is how's that relationship now? Like, are you guys friends? Are you guys trying to build some sort of like sibling relationship? It's just crazy.
I mean, that would be...
Okay, let's say one of your girlfriends hits you up, says, listen, I found out we were brothers and sisters. Are you gonna then try to have a relationship with her? Not a romantic one, but like siblings. Like
a relationship, like a brother and sister in a way?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Wouldn't it be awkward, though?
Fuck yeah, it would be awkward.
Mm-hmm. That is crazy. We definitely would love to hear what you guys think. So you could definitely chime in on our TikTok page, Instagram page, Bruno Explains It All, or you can write in at brunoexplainsitall@gmail.com. And a special treat for all of my supporters down in Australia. I feel the love and support. I want to give a super shout out to you guys. Thank you for streaming. The numbers have gotten up down there. So I definitely want to cover a local Australia story before we wrap up.
All right.
Right? For 15 years, she was known as one of Australia's most successful dominatrix sex workers, specializing in all things BDSM, a term used for a variety of sexual practices that include bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, and sadism. Tessa Williams would regularly dress up in a sexy nun outfit, ask men to take off their pants, and proceed to spank them on their behind with a large Bible. Damn, why'd you gotta do that to the Bible?
I thought it gotta be a paddle or something.
Yeah, not a fucking Bible.
Or a whip.
The now 45-year-old worker, under her kinky alter ego named Contessa Doll, and would often book out for months in advance from men seeking to pay $500 an hour to be tortured and dominated in the bedroom. Listen, if someone wants me to torture them for $500 an hour,
I do it on the spot.
You can write in at brunoexplainsitall@gmail.com.
I do it on the spot.
But she has now swapped her chains and whips for sermons and Bible readings after she says she's found God during the lowest point of her life in 2021. I wonder if she's using the same Bible
that she
spanked someone's ass with. I hope she recycled or got rid of those Bibles and she's not taking them into church.
Why? She was making $500.
No, I'm saying I'm just hoping she's not using those old dusty crusty Bibles that she spanked grown man's asses with to take her to take it to church and like read the Bible. Now that's just, to me, it'd be so awkward.
Imagine like you're going to church, right, like for your first time, or you just want to pray for a little bit, and I think, you know what, this woman, she's like, hey, I give you a spank for $500.
She's retired, Dylan, okay? Uh-huh. She's not gonna do that in church.
You anyway, never know.
Tessa has become a strict celibate. You know what that means?
No.
So celibate means you don't have sex at all.
Well, damn.
So Tessa has become a strict celibate after finding religion and now teaches Sunday school classes on the weekend while she completes her business degree. At that time in my life, I achieved some success in the adult industry, had won some prestigious awards, and was making a name for myself, she told the news.com Australia. But I found myself feeling empty inside and relied on prescription pills to get through everything. I felt vulnerable and lost. Despite the success I've been having, I knew that something was missing and I yearned for something more. During lockdown, my life came to a standstill. I find myself with a lot of time to think as I was taking a break from work. I had some dark moments and felt like putting an end to everything. But then I hear a small voice deep with me urging me to keep going. Tessa explained that during an afternoon stroll a few days later, she walked past a church and felt compelled to go inside, something she had never even considered doing before. She said she was overwhelmed by the acceptance and love she felt by the people she met inside, and she knew she wanted to say goodbye to her old life and pursue religion. She is now a devout Sunday school teacher who is dedicated to helping young people in her church. When I express a desire to serve in the kids' ministry, oh Lord, they encourage me to pursue my passion and use my experience to make a positive impact on young lives. Well, that's pretty good. I believe that it is important for young people to know that there is always hope, no matter what they might be going through. It is also a rewarding experience to share my journey with others, and I'm grateful to be a part of such a loving and supportive church community. During her time working as an escort, Tessa would be booked by a variety of different clients aged anywhere from 18 to 80 years old. Dylan, 80-year-old wants you to beat her with a whip for $500. Are we doing it? She's 80.
But I had to pay $500? Or she give me
$500? No, she's giving you $500 so you can give her a good spanking.
I do it.
She's 80.
I don't care. Money is money.
Really? You're going to probably put her in a coma. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you that Dylan is the same person that gave me a massage and the next day my lung was collapsed. So imagine the strength on this boy and what he's going to do to this poor old 80-year-old woman.
I mean,
she's
going to
be in a coma. You're going to put her into the grave.
Well,
into her coffin.
Well, I pray. And she gave me $500. It's a win-win.
Listen, so Tessa would also sometimes be booked by couples seeking BDSM training so that they could spice things up in the bedroom at home. On one occasion, she was even booked by an 80-year-old woman who no longer had the strength to whip her husband due to her old age. So she was doing really good for the community.
Yeah, in a sexual way.
But most of her clients were middle-aged, rich, and powerful men who sought her services as a fierce dominatrix. The most rich and powerful of my clients are often the ones who wanted the most degrading services, she reveals. Things like being whipped, led around on a leash, they were all professional businessmen. You would have no idea if you walked past them on the street. Tessa does not regret her past and says that her time working in the sex industry has helped her understand men. A lot of my clients actually became my good friends, funny enough, she said. BDSM would strip away men's ego and gave me this sense of power and control. It made me see men in a whole different light and understand them more. They would tell me everything about their problems and would use torture as a way to deal with their emotional pain. It is ironic to think people... I remember I actually used to dress up as a sexy nun and whip men with Bibles. I can't even imagine that now. It was at tough at times. Although I don't regret any of it, I will never go back to that life. I sometimes miss the money, but I'm so emotionally fulfilled. I've never been better than I am now. Tessa's now a devout celibate again, and despite some men in her church asking her out on dates, she is committed to waiting for the right man to settle down with. The next time I have sex, it will be with my husband, she said. This is something that I've decided is very important to me, but I'm not even really looking for that right now. I'm committed to helping others through my church, and I want to share my story to help inspire other sex workers who are looking to leave the industry. I want them to know that there is another life out there if they want it. I've never imagined my life would look like this, but I'm the happiest and most at peace I've ever been. I don't regret my past, because everything served as a learning opportunity, and I've learned to embrace my experiences, both the good and the bad, and they have helped shape me into who I am today. I'm grateful for the trials and tribulations of my past. They have taught me to be a stronger, more resilient person. We are big fans of Tessa. I wish her well. Dylan, this is a new chapter for Tessa. She's leaving behind the whips and chains and hopefully the nun outfit. No
what
comments.
What do you say? I mean, her story was very interesting, because she started as a sex worker for giving people like pleasure, like spanking or whatnot, or putting them on a leash.
Yeah.
But then
now she's devoting her
time
to God.
To God, and waiting for the right man, you know, to have sex with her.
Like, to be honest, I would never joke on someone discovering religion and their love for God. I believe religion could be a really beautiful thing, especially in the right church with the right community,
and
right
people.
So, and the right people, yeah, definitely. So definitely, go praise the Lord, lady, and live your best life, no matter, you know, what you're doing. I think Tessa is definitely a good example that, you know, there's always people could change. There's always a second chance, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? So on that note, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Keep catching the rest of our little mini series, these mini episodes. We got a lot more stories to cover. So until next time, bye.
Bye.